You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Gentlemen, to the third and final hour of TPC tonight, when we remember one of our warriors, Bob Whitaker. Remembering Bob Whitaker, it is with a heavy heart, as I wrote on the website, to report to you, if you didn't know already, that Bob Whitaker passed away in his sleep last Saturday afternoon. I first met Bob back in 2004, and we became fast friends. I fondly remember Bob coming to Charleston and joining me and two associates in the attendance at the burial of the crew of the H.L. Hunley Confederate submarine. Bob, of course, later on became a guest on the Political Cesspool many times over the years. It had been a little while since we last had him on the show, as his health had, declined somewhat. But Bob Whitaker was a guy you should know about, and if you're a new listener to the show, or just for whatever reason, aren't familiar with who Bob Whitaker is, well, we're going to tell you over the course of the next hour. We're going to share with you his biography, and we're going to share with you his mantra, which really catapulted him over the course of the last decade into sort of an icon in what predated even the alt-right. He probably was the originator of meme warfare. I think Bob Whitaker was the first one to weaponize a meme, even though he, like me, was not all that computer literate, but he was the one who did it. And also, Bob was a big fan of the Political Cesspool. In addition to being a friend of mine and a regular guest on the show, he wrote an endorsement for the show, specifically for our website, which is still featured on our mission page at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we'll revisit that and much more over the course of the first over the course of this last hour tonight. A tribute to Bob Whitaker. And when I tweeted some stuff about this right after it became known to me, and I almost immediately got a text message from Winston Smith, our beloved co-host, and we were texting back and forth about Bob and his passing, and I said, well, how about you come on and we'll just do a tribute hour? I knew I was going to spend a little time talking about Bob tonight because we have to remember the people who have fought for our people. We have to remember the heroes. And, of course, Winston agreed, and he's here now. So, Winston, before we get into the official bio and some of the other stuff I want to share with the audience about Bob as we look back on his life and our experiences with him, what would you say? Winston.
I met Bob Whitaker, I don't even remember when I met him. I remember we were at a restaurant, and there were several other folks there, some from the Council of Conservative Citizens, and of course you were there. You're always there when there's free food available. So I had never met Bob before, and he rushed up to meet me like I'm something. And he's one of those guys who, he was one of those guys that when you talk to him, when you meet him, you realize that you're in the presence of something like greatness. I hate to use a cliche like that, but he was truly a great man, but he made you feel like you had something that he could use, and he wanted to know about you. He wanted to know what you had been doing and what you'd been reading. And that really struck me because he was truly a great man. He wasn't just great in our movement. He was just an exemplar. He was a prince of a man. I enjoyed talking with him and emailing with him over the years. You're absolutely right about him. He was not very computer literate, but I just love the guy to death, and I wish, you know, I've said it before, one of the best things about being a political cesspool co-host is the people you get to know. And Bob Whitaker is one of those people that make being a political cesspool co-host a great privilege and a great honor.
Well, I agree 100%, Winston. Bob had a really interesting sense of humor. He was a funny guy, but he was also a curmudgeon, but a lovable curmudgeon. And it was just he had a unique personality. And I can remember that trip we took together to Charleston. Now, he was a South Carolinian, although he lived in Columbia, so he had a short drive down to Charleston, whereas we came from Memphis, me and two friends at the time. And we were sitting at a restaurant in downtown Charleston called Henry's, and just had a great time. He stayed with us at the condo we had rented for the Hunley crew for their burial, and it was just a really memorable experience. And I had also, Bob and I were both speakers at David Duke's conference in New Orleans in 2004, and this was before. This was actually just a couple of months. The show started in October of 2004, and that conference was in May of 2004. So I had worked in the Buchanan campaign, of course, and had my 2002 run for state representative, and was just barely beginning to have any sort of a tiny profile in the movement in those early months in 2004. And Bob Whitaker saw something in me that I'm not even sure that I saw at the time, and he took me around. And of course, Bob. And we'll tell you more about who Bob is if you don't know. I mean, we're talking about him as if everyone should know who he is. Everyone should know who he is. But in case you don't, we will tell you. This guy probably was more significant than just about anybody you can imagine in terms of what he did in his career. He was a Reagan administration appointee, among many other high-profile positions. So we'll tell you about him. But he never backed down on our issues, and he was just a warrior. Well, anyway, He really saw something in me early on, even before I had a radio show. He said, "You're going to be something, and you're going to do great things." And he took me around and was introducing me to all of these people who were now old friends, people like Sam Dixon, who I'd never met before, and Paul Fromm and David Duke. And he took me around to the conference, and he really was promoting me even before there was really a lot to promote. Let's take a quick call from Matt in Kansas before the first break. Matt, take it away.
Oh, hey, James. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Oh, yeah, Bob Whitaker, my condolences to his family. You're the first pro-white radio show I first listened to, like, back in 2010, before all the podcasts came out. Like, what was considered, like, 5 years ago, like, you know, racist. Like, in my social media, I would share stories about, like, from Bob Whitaker and you guys, like, black on my crime. They'd be like, "Oh, don't share that. That's racist." But now, like, in my conservative group, it's getting to be mainstream almost now. The things that they condemned us for a couple of years ago, like, now they'll openly talk about it.
Well, and you know what, my friend Bob had a lot to do with that, and we're going to tell people more about it when we continue. I'm sorry that the commercial break came up right at the time you called,
no,
but thank
fine.
You for calling in. Nope. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about?" Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, folks, we're remembering Bob Whitaker this hour with Winston Smith. And, of course, Winston and I are talking as if everyone shared our experiences with Bob. I'll tell you one thing I'm disappointed with is that a man like this dies, and other than his own website, one of his associates posted an entry on his own website and our website, I haven't seen any other organization or individual in our movement post any sort of a tribute. That is a shame. We can't be "what have you done for me lately" type of thing. At some point, everybody retires. Everybody can't be as active as they once were. But Bob Whitaker should be remembered, and so we're going to do our part here. Here's his bio, and then I'll toss it back to Winston. Really incredible biography. Robert Walker Whitaker was born in 1941 and raised in South Carolina. He attended the University of South Carolina and the University of Virginia Graduate School. He has served as a college professor, international aviation negotiator, Capitol Hill senior staffer, Reagan administration appointee, and writer for The Voice of America. He's written numerous articles and 3 books. Bob entered the University of South Carolina at age 16 and was a political science instructor at the age of 19. He later received a scholarship to study for a PhD in economics at the University of Virginia. After that, he became involved in political activism and intelligence work. Bob returned to America in 1972 to become an aircraft negotiator. During the next few years, he set up press conferences and marches of thousands of people in populist protests against forced busing. He arranged a joint march of thousands of working people from South Boston and Louisville and West Virginia coal miners protesting objectionable textbooks. For the first time, these white people marched together against their common enemy. Bob worked with William Rusher, publisher of National Review, in turning the so-called Wallace Democrats into Reagan Democrats. That was a move that respectable conservatives of the day opposed vigorously. In Bob's 1976 book, A Plague on Both Your Houses, attacking both the liberal establishment and the watered-down Republican opposition, it was a milestone in this campaign. Despite their strong objections to Bob's political opinions, Publishers Weekly and Kirkus gave the book excellent reviews, and the Library Journal recommended it for purchase. Bob worked on Capitol Hill from 1977 to 1982. During that period, two of his most personally gratifying accomplishments, enjoyed today by all of us, were saving the Hubble telescopes and preventing the Internal Revenue Service from imposing racial quotas on private schools. Despite his criticism of Ronald Reagan in A Plague on Both of Your Houses, Bob was a Reagan appointee in charge of federal staffing. In 1982, Bob conceived and produced an anthology for St. Martin's Press, The New Right Papers. It explained the strategy which led to Ronald Reagan's 1980 victory by the people, including Bob himself, who made it a reality while conservatives dithered. Bob left federal service in 1985. Since then, among other places, he lived in Central America and Russia. He officially retired in the 1990s. Folks, we want influence. We want insiders. This was a man who never backed down on speaking out about racial realities. He never sold out, and he made it all the way to a presidential administration. He worked for Ronald Reagan, and in some of the interviews we had with Bob Whitaker in the early days of this show, he talked about his personal exchanges with Reagan when he was a part of the administration. This was a guy that was on the inside of the establishment, but he never backed down on his principles and on his convictions, which are our issues and our principles and our convictions. And I think that makes him very significant. Other than David Duke, who was a member of the state legislature in Louisiana, I'm hard-pressed to think of anyone who actually had a position of power and influence. We have a lot of commentators, and God knows we need them. But Bob Whitaker stood out for that reason and many more. Winston?
James, I was listening, or I was actually reading the bio, and most of that stuff I did not know about Mr. Whitaker. I am stunned. This guy was the real thing. I'm stunned. That's all I can say about it. But still, I keep going back to the way he treated people. He was not impressed with himself. He was just doing what he just did what he did to the best of his ability, and his intellect was second to, well, hard, a few could compare to his intellect. But you know, as I think about the times that I've met and talked with Bob, you know, James, tell me what you think. He kind of reminded me of Bill Rowland. That same kind of courage that came from being absolutely convinced that what you were thinking was correct, and it was true thinking. Most of the time, when people think these days, they're just rearranging their prejudices and biases. But you know, Bill Rowland and Bob Whitaker, when they probed the subject, you know, they truly probed it all sides, and they went wherever the facts led them, and that gave them a certain courage, a certain self-confidence that some people might have misinterpreted as arrogance, but I don't see how they can misinterpret it as arrogance, because arrogance is off-putting, whereas true self-confidence is uplifting. And you get around guys like Bill Rowland and Bob Whitaker, and you are uplifted. And, you know, of course, my highest praise for Mr. Whitaker is going to come for his work, Why Johnny Can't Think. And I don't know if you want to get into it right now or save it for later. But folks,
let me just say this very quickly. Let's get into it right now. We've got some more things, of course, we want to cover this hour related to Bob. But when we mentioned a couple of the other books that he had written. When he first came onto the political cesspool, he came on to promote his book, Why Johnny Can't Think. And we sold a couple of boxes of those books just instantly. Now, this was back in 2005 when he, I think, made his first actual appearance on the radio show. We had met before then. And that's when I knew that there was something going on with the show, that we had an audience. And I think that book may have been the very first incentive we ever used for a fundraiser. So that's pretty significant. But anyway, he had signed a copy of that book for me, and I actually posted a picture on the website this week of Bob and I at the radio station when he came down to Memphis. Most of the guests call in. He actually came to Memphis to sit in the studio and do the show with us, and we took a picture, and it's up on the website. But he signed his book. He was a very confident man. The SPLC wrote about his death. I should say the only other website besides ours that wrote about his death was the Southern Poverty Law Center. But for not the same reasons, of course. But they said, I think it was like 6,000 times he referred himself as a genius on his website. So, but he was in many ways. And he was sort of self-deprecating, but he was very confident that he was correct. And but he was a funny guy, too. And he signed his book to me. I have the inscription here. To James Edwards, a hero for the next generation and a lowlife son of a blank. So that was Bob. But we're about to come up on a commercial break. I'm holding it in my hand right now, looking at it. And I was standing right with him when he did that for me. But let's get into the book, Why Johnny Can't Think. I think he would always say that was his greatest work. The greatest thing he ever did was write Why Johnny Can't Think. Now, I know the music's about to start any second, but start at Winston, and we'll continue in the next segment. Go ahead.
He was an excellent judge of character, wasn't he? Why Johnny Can't Think. It's not a long book. You can read it in a weekend. I read very fast, but most people read it in a week or so. But it's a critique of how social sciences are taught in colleges, and the phrase that keeps coming up is the priest professor. And Stephanie says there's music, so I got to shut up.
All right, well, that's a nice little teaser. We'll leave you hanging. We'll talk about what Bob considered to be his greatest work and contribution to our people when we come back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The USS Liberty, attacked by Israeli warplanes, torpedoed by Israeli ships back in 1967. During the Six-Day War, the American ship was a signal intelligence ship in international waters. The Liberty clearly marked as a ship of the U.S. During the two-hour strike, the crew hoisted a large American flag. Rescue aircraft launched by the 6th Fleet. All of this now being remembered in honor of the 34 crew killed. Nearly everyone interested in politics has had his eyes glued to a cable news network. James Comey's opening statement, for example, to the Senate Intelligence Committee got high ratings, at least as far as viewership. It confirmed President Trump's statement that he was told by Comey that he wasn't under investigation. President Trump was not trying to shut down the campaign collusion investigation. Instead, the president was trying to get Comey to come out publicly to say that the president wasn't under investigation. The president was generally frustrated and puzzled as to why the former FBI director didn't come out and definitely clear his name. In the meantime, you almost need a scorecard. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly Internet News Analysis Service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com. When it comes to books, videos, health food, and natural products, please do business with the good guys today. Phone in orders available by calling 877-817-9829 or purchase online at thepowermall.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're going to pick up where we left off with Winston talking about why Johnny can't think America's Professor Priesthood, the third and final book that Bob Whitaker wrote. And he said that was his greatest accomplishment, the thing he wanted to be remembered by. That and his mantra, which we're going to get into next. So, Winston, a quick couple of minutes maybe on your thoughts on the book. And I want to cover the mantra this segment also.
All right. Well, the phrase keeps coming up in the book is the professor priesthood. And in the book, Mr. Whitaker makes the point that political correctness is joined at the hip with this professor priesthood, in which university and college professors demand absolute obedience and fidelity to their teaching, not to the facts. Now, Mr. Whitaker, in his book, he points out that the hard sciences, you know, maths and engineering, things like that, They are treated fairly well in American universities at the time he wrote the book, though not anymore. But it was the social sciences that were being rammed down the throats and the minds of students. And in using the phrase the professor priesthood, he shows how political correctness is not like a religion, but is actually a religion. And over the years, I've come to see the truth of that. Political correctness is a religion in that it demands absolute obedience. You cannot swerve from the tenets of it. You have to follow them perfectly. Otherwise, you are subjected to the standard litany of invective and venom, you know, racist and bigot and homophobe and every other name they can come up with, and they're inventing new ones daily. But the book Why Johnny Can't Think shows that universities have become religious indoctrination centers. And you know, think about climate change or global warming. That's a basic tenet of liberalism today, and it's the basic tenet of what is being taught in university science classes, even though there is no evidence to point to it in the way it's being presented. But you have to look at universities as religious training centers. And that's the point of Why Johnny Can't Think. And once you realize that and you start seeing universities through that lens, then American so-called education starts to make a lot more sense.
Well, it does, Winston, and of course, this was something that Bob knew well. You know, this was a guy who is almost like Forrest Gump in a way. I mean, think of all of the different incredible careers that he held in a single lifetime. I mean, being a college professor, which he was, would be a career for most people, but he was that and then so much other, including international aviation negotiator, Capitol Hill senior staffer in a Reagan administration appointee. He lived many lives in one. But I think he may have become most famous for his mantra, which was written, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago, and it predated the alt-right. It predated the meme warfare. As I said earlier in the program, Bob Whitaker was the first one to weaponize a meme for our people. And here is the mantra in full. Bob writes this. Everybody says there's a race problem. Everybody says the race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgium are more crowded than Japan or Taiwan, but nobody says Japan or Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and, quote-unquote, assimilating with them. Everybody says the final solution to this race problem is for every white country and only white countries to assimilate, i.e. intermarry with all those non-whites. What if I said there was this race problem, and this race problem would be solved only if hundreds of millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only into black countries? Well, of course, it wouldn't take anyone long to realize that I'm not talking about a race problem. I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem. And how long would it take any sane black man to notice this, and what kind of psycho black man wouldn't object to this? But if I was to tell the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives would agree that I am a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they're anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. Anti-racist is code word for anti-white. And that last line was the thing that, of course, he perhaps is most remembered for. Anti-racist is code word for anti-white. We have seen that on bridge overpasses and billboards all across the country. That thing really went viral. And it's true. It's simple. It's true. That's why it's a meme. Anti-racist is code for anti-white. Winston?
Well, that certainly is one of the most famous lines of our movement. And it is absolutely true. It cannot be refuted. It is a truth. And excuse me, James, I have something in my throat. I'm trying to get rid of it. But I need to go back to why Johnny Can't Think. And the purpose of Why Johnny Can't Think was to offer a solution. And that solution was an absolute revolution, in an intellectual revolution. And we need to apply that to the condition of our people. We need a racial intellectual revolution. And I want to talk about this when I take the helm of the CSS cesspool in a couple of weeks. By the way, James, does everybody know that I'm going to be doing that?
Well, I believe I did mention that just tonight, in fact, because I don't think we had secured your services until a couple of days ago. But yes, indeed, when Eddie Miller is down at the League of the South meeting in Alabama on June 24th, Winston Smith will be anchoring the show that week. I'll be out of town. Eddie will be at the League of the South conference, and Winston will be in studio actually anchoring the show. So we're all look forward to that. That's coming up in 2 weeks.
The only reason I bring that up is because I want to use that show to talk about the need for a racial intellectual revolution among white people. And I think Bob would agree with that just by that one line. Anti-racist is code for anti-white. He saw things so clearly, and he saw things so far in advance. And that's something that we can pocket from him. And we keep talking about him. We keep talking about him in these glowing terms. And folks, the reason I'm doing it, I'm sure James is doing it out of affection for Mr. Whitaker, because he knew him a lot better than I did. But I'm talking about him the way I do because I want more of us to be like him. This was a man who thought about things and who had the intellectual wherewithal to see clearly and then to do something about it. Even just writing a book. You might think writing a book does not do much, but I beg to differ. Some of the greatest movements in the world have been launched by books. And I'd like for you to lay hold of this book, Why Johnny Can't Think, and consider what he has to say, and start your own revolution in your own community, in your own home. You have to start in your home. And just do that.
Winston, that's great advice. And again, when you read anything of people saying they're anti-racist, it's always directed at what they believe white people are doing wrong, and it's never an issue of actual mistreatment or irrational hatred of one person towards another. It's always just a dig at whites. anti-racist is code for anti-white. That was Bob Whitaker. He also had another, I guess, runner-up meme when talking about what the powers that be were seeking. He said, Asia for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, white countries for everybody. And that was another meme that Bob was certainly somewhat known for. But the anti-racist is code for anti-white. Well, I guess everybody would see that as common sense, but sometimes common sense has to be spoken. And it's like the emperor who had no clothes. Once you put it out there, everybody comes to it like a moth to flame. But again, when is the last time you would hear something like that from somebody who served in a presidential administration? I would gather probably maybe Bob Whitaker was the last one. But we need more people like that in positions of power. Bob was in power. He probably could have been much more powerful if he had played the game, but he did not want to play the game, and he stuck to his guns all through his life. We got to take a break. Remembering Bob Whitaker tonight, everyone should be doing it. I wish more people were. One more segment, and we're wrapping it up.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, Bob Whitaker, remembering him, we have to remember the people who fought. We have to respect our elders, and that's what we're doing here. And again, Bob was an old guard guy. He doesn't get as much play with the alt-right shock troopers, the newer generation of activists as he should, but ironically, he was the one who predated them in weaponizing memes, as I mentioned, and he did that so much more in his career. I told you that when Bob was one of the first guests to ever appear on the Political Cesspool, and his book was the incentive that we used in our very first fundraising drive, way more than 10 years ago now. But he wrote an endorsement for our show that still stands, and it's still featured on our mission page, and this is what it reads. I was one of the first guests on the Political Cesspool, and we ran for a highly successful program. The founder of the program, whom I met, is James Edwards. James is a bundle of energy and dedication who is deeply concerned about the genocide against European Americans and says so. He's also wiser than many of the older members of our movement. His wisdom lies in the fact that he's been able to stay on the air. James is shooting for a sizable audience, including minorities, and he knows how to keep that, too. Many older pro-whites insist that we live in an authoritarian society, but they don't know how to handle it. James does. He sticks with legitimate complaints that Gentiles have and our concern of the genocide of immigration and intermarriage that respectable conservatives all advocate. He does not need people trying to get him off on announcing Jews or blacks or anybody else, because the Political Cesspool is one of the first major steps toward making our perfectly legitimate and generally heartfelt concerns, the ones that are presently denounced as heresy, racism, and hate, the mainstream. This is what the program needs help with. My 1976 book, A Plague on Both Your Houses, was praised by the Publishers Weekly and even recommended for purchase by the Library Journal, though I hated all of them and they hated me. I specifically voiced my concern in that book about the disappearance of the white race, but I did it right. My book was a description of populism as I saw it. That is the way it was described by the National Review, the Conservative Digest, and many other publications. It turns out that the Political Cesspool describes itself as the South's foremost populist radio program. My book was published before James Edwards was even born, but this isn't a coincidence. James has seen what I saw. The simple fact that our concerns are mainline American concerns that represent populism in an authoritarian society. Well, Bob Whitaker was a warrior for our people, and he will be missed. Rest in peace, Bob. We'll take it from here. Winston, a quick word from you on that endorsement, and I'd like to play a quick clip from Bob Whitaker so we can hear his voice on the radio one last time. Winston, first to you.
Well, what a ringing endorsement. You know, coming from the guy that wrote what he wrote in your copy of his book. One memory by proxy that I have, if I can say that, about Bob Whitaker was that he was good friends with Sam Francis, who was an intellectual giant and who paid the price for being an intellectual giant who committed the ultimate sin of noticing things. And he attended a reception after Sam Francis' funeral and apparently helped make that reception a darn good time. I saw some pictures from it that a good friend of mine had taken. And there was one with Bob Whitaker with a camel cigarette hanging loosely out of his mouth. And he looked like he was saying something like, you like my smoking? How about if I cut you? You know, but he's just, what else can we say about him? The man was one of the last of a golden era of truly conservative thought. He was like Sam Francis. He was like H.L. Mencken. He was like a lot of the best thinkers. He's a lot like Russell Kirk, whereas Russell Kirk would probably fight you with a fencing foil. Bob Whitaker would come at you with brass knuckles. And that worked for him. But James, like you, I was just so honored to know so rare a man, and I wish
I
could be more like him.
He certainly never backed down from a fight, and he wasn't afraid to mix it up. And I have a clip here now, Bob, in his own words. It's a short one. Let's listen to him one more time on the radio.
Anti-racism today, as used by respectable conservatives and liberals, means that every white country on earth, and only white countries, have to bring in large numbers of non-whites from the third world and integrate with them. The universal statement of both respectable conservatives and liberals is that this will solve, quote, the race, unquote, problem. This race problem does not exist in Asia, does not exist in Japan, does not exist in Taiwan, does not exist in Africa. Nobody expects black countries to bring in huge numbers of non-blacks and integrate with them in order to solve some race problem. So it doesn't really take a nuclear scientist to figure out that solving the race problem means solving the white problem. To repeat, if a group of countries were randomly selected as the ones on Earth which had to bring in people of another race, and those countries were Jamaica, all of Africa, in fact, every black country on the face of the Earth, and everybody were to say, we're not going to bother anybody else, but you have to solve the race problem by bringing in lots and lots of non-blacks, integrating with them. I don't think it would take very long for people to figure that whoever was doing this really hated blacks. So today, when a respectable conservative, a Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or whoever else is allowed to talk on national television, he always agrees with the liberals that the race problem must be solved, and that these countries with a race problem must bring in lots and lots of third worlders and integrate with them. And once again, these countries with this race problem are always white. Every white country and only white countries. It doesn't take a nuclear scientist or a brain surgeon to figure out what the underlying theme here is. It is called genocide. Whites must go.
That was Bob Whitaker. Perhaps the greatest thing Ronald Reagan ever did was put that man to a post in his administration. Winston, with only 30 seconds or less, your response to that clip. Bob Whitaker gone but not forgotten.
Well, Stephanie writes that she loves his accent. You know, she lives in California, so she doesn't get to hear true good English very often. Yeah, he was a gentleman, and I think the meme that diversity is code word for white genocide is attributed to him as well. But we're going to miss him, and folks, it's up to us to pick up that mantle and to throw it over our shoulders and to carry on that great intellectual work. And to try to put some legs to that intellectual work, to have a revolution, a racial intellectual revolution, and reclaim our birthright, reclaim our heritage. And we have that foundation thanks to men like Bob Whitaker.
Winston, thank you for coming on tonight and helping me offer this memorial to Bob Whitaker on the radio to explain to the people who perhaps didn't know him before why he should be remembered and what he did in his life for our people, the sacrifices he made. A couple of announcements, ladies and gentlemen, very quickly. We're going to fire up the bagpipes one more time for Bob if we can get that last clip ready. With seconds remaining, Winston will be back with you in 2 weeks. Next week, it'll be a regular show with me and Keith and Eddie. And then the week after that, Winston will be anchoring the show as Eddie reports live from Alabama at the League of the South Conference. We are in the middle of our second quarter fundraising drive, folks. We have to have your help. We have to have your help. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Go and donate tonight, as quick as you can. Certainly before the end of the month, we need your contributions, $25, $50, $100 or more. You get a special gift incentive information on the website. Godspeed, Bob Whitaker. Amazing grace. This is for you, Bob. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. It's just one of those nights. It's just one of those nights. Is it possible to cue up the last clip of Amazing Grace? and send Bob out with that, or send the show out with that on behalf of all of us. There it is. Good night, everybody. God bless you.